also be factions among you. And those who are approved by me be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. And one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or you despise the church of God and the shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. And in the institution of the Lord's Supper in 23, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, what are we remembering? We're remembering what he did on the cross for us. Well, let's look at remembrance. In the Greek, it is called anamnesis. And ana means up or again. So when we remember, we're bringing it back to our minds. We're recalling it, right? And mnemonesko, to remind or to recall. So out of those two Greek words, we have remembrance. In other words, it's a memory of, not just to remember, but an affectionate calling of Jesus himself to your mind and to your heart. And it shouldn't be just a simple external bringing to remembrance, right? Just for something to do. It has to be an awakening of the mind. We have to have the mind of Christ. Amen? So, and it's not just a meal, as Paul says. It's not just a meal. We have to do it in remembrance. We eat our meal before we have communion. Amen? What are we to remember, though? Well, Israel remembered the Passover. And I'm going to go to Exodus 3. Or 13, I'm sorry. 13, 3 through 10. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out to Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength the hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out into the month Abib. And it shall be, when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leavened bread be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of from Egypt. It shall be as a sign to you in your hand, a memorial between your eyes, and the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with the strong hand of the Lord brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep his ordinance in its season from year to year. And I will say that our communion bread today is unleavened. We make our own bread at home, and it's really sticky. I'd have washed my hands like 5 times. But it's all worth it. It's all worth it, right? But it's unleavened. It's unleavened. So, Jesus tells us in Matthew 26:28. He says, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This is the new covenant of grace. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. And we have to remember that. We have to remember, because of what Jesus did on the cross and shed his blood, we are now under grace. The Old Testament, everybody was under the law. Jesus went to the cross, and now we're under grace. We're to remember that our sin is cleansed by the blood of Jesus, and that there's atonement for the whole person. And we talked about that last week, or the week before, about love your God with all your what? strength, mind, soul, body, everything, the whole person. Not just little pieces here and there. We don't love God just with little pieces of what we have. We got to love Him with our whole body. And this, Jesus, the shed blood, is atonement for the whole person, for everything. And there's total victory because of the cross. We can have total victory in Him with no matter what we're going through. So let's look at some scriptural terms. I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 10. And scriptural terms on the Lord's Supper. So for the first one is the communion. 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, in which we read in our verse, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And Paul's telling the Corinthians this. It's not just food. It's not just food, right? It's a communion. So the second one is, and this is in 1 Corinthians 11:20. Good morning. So 1 Corinthians 11:20, we talk about the Lord's Supper, and it says, therefore, when you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? So we have communion, we have the Lord's Supper, amen? And now we go to the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians 10:21. You cannot drink, 1 Corinthians 10:20, yeah, it's the same one. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. And we're going to talk about this before we take communion today. We got to make sure that our heart is right, because we can't sit down and take the cup of the Lord if we got issues going on, if we have unforgiveness. Can't do that. And that's what Paul's talking about here. And the same for at the Lord's table, the cup of the Lord, cannot drink the cup of the Lord, the cup of demons. Now we get to the Eucharist. The Eucharist. How many have ever heard of the Eucharist? Okay. That's a Catholic term. Okay. Catholic term. Eucharistia, to give thanks. Okay. Eucharistia, to give thanks. This is the traditional name for the Lord's Supper. It's used 7 times in connection with communion and 32 times in connection with prayer, praise, or thanksgiving. This is not unscriptural, but it's not the best term either. It's not the best term either. So when we hear the Eucharist in the Catholic society, it's biblical. It's biblical. And I'm not knocking the Catholics by any means, but a lot of people don't understand that. They hear that and they kind of get afraid, the non-Catholic people. But the best term is communion, which in the Greek means koinonia, having a common fellowship. Koinonia, having a common fellowship. Which brings us to communion, common union, which is also what? Fellowship, right? We're commanded to do good and to share with each other. We are. And in Hebrews 13:16, but do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. See, we're in communion with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then with each other. We have to be in communion with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit to have that communion, to be able to have communion with one another. It's not going to work. That's how the love, that's how agape love works. We have to be in that relationship. So we're in communion with the Father and Son. In 1 John 1:3, it says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with who? The Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And then Paul talks about the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So we have communion with the whole Trinity. Right? It's right there in God's Word. We have to have that communion before we can have fellowship and communion with each other. Now, we can fellowship, right? You can fellowship outside the will of God. You can go to parties, you can do whatever. Have family dinners, right? In the Christian household, though, where's God at? God's first, right? We give thanks for our meal, right? That brings us into communion with one another. Now, we talked about it not being just a meal. I'm just talking about the fellowship right now. Amen? I'm just talking about fellowship with each other. Which brings us to 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We have to walk in him before we can walk with each other. We have to. And so many times, we don't do that. We don't do that. We just do our own thing. Right? We just do our own thing with each other. We don't really get into walking in the light. When we stay in communion with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we should have the boldness to share what we have to share in our faith. We need to have that boldness to, we have to live consistent lives. The way we're here in church, we need to be like that at home, in the public, and everywhere else. To let the light, no pun intended, the light of Christ, shine through us. Right? We have to. We have to. We talked about this yesterday in Bible study, in First Responders Bible Study, where how many times do we encounter somebody, we get tongue-tied. Right, we can't share the love of Christ with them. We get tongue-tied, right? And my favorite line is, "Hey, where do you go to church at?" That's a great opener, right? Well, I don't go to church. Well, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Sometimes they say, "Yeah," and I say, "Hey, come on to church." But other times they don't. Then what do? Don't come to church. Amen. Amen. Don't come to church. That's right. Don't come to church. I love it. You know, and Jesus tells us that who's going to bring back what we need to say? We don't have to worry about what to say. Holy Spirit's going to give us what to say, right? I mean, that's where we have to rely on that communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? Philemon 1:6. It says that sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's how we become an effective witness for Christ. Right? Sharing the faith. Keep doing it. Right? So, and then we go back to koinonia. Also means to share everything you have. Right? If you can, we're to share it. But if you can't, if your heart's in the right spot, right, it's there. So let's talk about some benefits of communion. Benefits of communion. Well, the main one is what? Communion with God. Communion with God. We need to share the benefits of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. 1 Corinthians 10:16-17 says, the cup of blessing, which is our main verse for today, which is blessed, is it not the communion of blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. We are the body of Christ. Once we become a believer, we become part of that body of Christ. If you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, you are in that body of Christ. You're in that body of Christ. You're part of that one bread. And we're going to talk about that. So the second one is to have fellowship with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. But, great big but, you can only have fellowship with the Father through the Son. You can't have fellowship with the Father unless you go through the Son. You have to go through Jesus Christ. You have to. John 14:6, Jesus says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you don't accept Jesus, you don't have him in your heart, you're not ever going to commune with the Father. You'll never see him. You'll never get to see God, because if you die without being saved, who you stand in front of? Jesus. He's like, see ya. Theoretically, you're going to see God because Jesus is God, but you're not going to have communion with the Father. And we have communion with each other. All believers are saints. All believers are saints. Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Let's get into the elements of communion. The bread. The bread represents what? Body of Christ. Yeah, the body of Jesus. The Greek is artos, which means loaf. And the word bread always renders loaf. So let's talk about the loaf for a second. Now, when we, I don't want feedback. When we made this bread yesterday, it was on a great big pan, right? When I first started pastoring, I would have communion and I had the little tiny wafers. And that's what I would use. They would come prepackaged, wafers, take them out of the bag, throw them on a plate. They were nasty. They tasted like styrofoam. They did. So, when we were in South Carolina, I was pastoring a church down there, and I put them in a refrigerator, and they used the same ones, but they threw them all wet. And I'm like, what'd you do with my bread? Well, we thought it was old. It was mine. So, when we came home, Lita looked up a recipe, and we started making our own. So, but when we look at the loaf back in Jesus' day, and we see it when we watch shows, maybe The Chosen or any shows with Jesus, right, the Bible or whatever, we see them breaking off pieces of loaves. That's what that means. That's what that means. So it's a small loaf or cake composed of flour and water, and it's baked. Its shape was neither oblong or round. It's about as thick as your thumb. And these were not cut, but broken. They were broken and consecrated to the Lord every Sabbath and called a shewbread, which means loaves is a presentation. So made of flour and wheat. Jesus is our bread of life. Amen. And it's made of water. You've got to put water in there, right? What's the water? The Word. The Word. And it's not cut, but broken. And what was Jesus' body done on the cross? It was broken. That's why that representation should be breaking off of loaves. We cut these, we broke them, right? In today's day, it's hard to pass a loaf of bread around and break pieces off. And that's unfortunate. But it is. The pattern that Jesus used in Mark 14:22 says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. So let's look at this. He took the bread, which is Jesus. Took Jesus. He blessed it, which is the Holy Spirit. He blessed it with the Holy Spirit. He broke it, which takes us to the cross. And he gave it, use us. For God to use us. He takes us, gives us an opportunity for salvation. With his broken body and his blood. He blesses us with what? With who? The Holy Spirit. Forgive me, Lord, for saying what? And he breaks us. The crucified life, right? He tests our faith. He gives us challenges and trials. He lets it happen. He lets us happen. The crucified life. And he gives us in ministry. Now, somebody might say, well, I don't have a ministry. Oh, yeah, you do. God gives every Christian a ministry. And there's no difference from me and all of you. I just got a different call in my life, which I ran for years. Each one of us has a ministry. Share the word of God. Prayer. Intercessory prayer is a huge ministry. When you're taking, you're praying for somebody else, and you're interceding, you're standing in the gap for somebody else, that is a tremendous ministry. Just pray. Every Christian has a ministry. He gives us a ministry. He gives us a ministry. Lost my clicker. So the bread that was made was unleavened, which means it didn't have any leaven or yeast in it. Leaven speaks of lust and sin and false doctrine. Whenever leaven's mentioned in the Bible, which is 22 times in the Old Testament, 17 times in the New Testament, it always or almost always represents sin. It does. Almost. The bread is the body of Jesus and his physical sinless body broken for our healing. For our healing. What does he heal? Our heart and our soul. We talked about last week, healings. It's God's will whether we get healed or not. Right? We can't force that. So the main thing that he died to heal us is our heart, our spirit, our soul. So we can commune with him in heaven. Amen? So we can commune with you in him in heaven. Now, we get to the cup. The cup represents his blood. Without it, we can't have salvation. One cup, not a lot of little ones. This was back then, right? And this is called the Holy Grail. And they think the Knights of the Templar took it and hid it and got, you know, whatever. Same as the Ark of the Covenant. I'm watching a show on that now. They're looking for the Ark of the Covenant, trying to find the Ten Commandments. I forget who they said. Put it on a mountain where Moses is buried, is where they say the Ark of the Covenant. They think it is. Well, guess when that's going to be revealed? When Jesus comes back. Ain't nobody going to find that. But it was one cup, not a lot of little ones. Today's day, if we want to commune together, we have a lot of little ones. Is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because it's a representation of his blood. In some religions, you don't even come up and get the drink, right? The priest or the pastor or whatever drinks it for you. How's that a communion? How's that a communion? That's how I went, not Catholics, but sorry, because I know there's a lot of recovering Catholics in here, but, right? How's that a communion? You can't share that representation of the body of Christ with one cup. Everybody gets a piece of the wafer or a piece of the bread. So, the drinking vessel is called a poterion in Greek. And the word is used is singular. And it's used for their common cup. That's what they did back then. Once again, in today's day, you can't drink from the same cup. Right? let alone COVID, but all this other germs going around. Matthew 27 and 28 in the New King James says, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" See, in drinking the cup, we are partakers of that new covenant. And in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, that says we all drink. We all receive forgiveness of our sins because of the blood. The sacrifice of the blood is for all. Right? Communion doesn't get you into heaven. It's believing in Jesus Christ and accepting him is what gets you into heaven. But we can partake in that. The main purpose for the shed blood of Jesus is the remission of sin. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 and 6 says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith." So I talked about, we got, you know, a lot of churches, they have communion, right? They'll have communion and end the service with an altar call. So, well, somebody comes up and gets saved, or comes up and cleanses their heart in prayer with Jesus, and they can't partake in communion. Right? So God spoke to me and said, do it after the altar call. Do it after. That way, for somebody that needs prayer, they can come up, they can get prayer, and have communion. That's the right way to do it. Because Paul says, and we're going to read it, to examine ourselves. Right? So I used to say, take a moment of silence, sit there and examine yourself. No, give somebody the opportunity to come up and give their life to Jesus, or get prayer and get right. Right? That's the way that it needs to be done. And Paul says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Christ is in you? You know whether or not you're saved. That's between you and God. I don't know who's saved here. I have a pretty good idea, right? But God truly knows. Only God truly knows. Unless indeed you are disqualified, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Right? You're going to know. But I ask you now, are you in the faith? Do you have that relationship with Jesus Christ? Now, right now is the time to search your heart, to fully allow the Holy Spirit to convict you of your sin and be totally cleansed of unforgiveness and bitterness. By taking communion, we are proclaiming and remembering our identification with Jesus Christ on the cross. There it is. So I ask now, before I open it up for the altar call for prayer, which this mic will be shut off, everything's private, examine yourself. And yes, you can examine yourself where you sit. I'm not saying you can't do that. It's Communion Sunday. Prepare your hearts. Let's remember his sacrifice. So I would like to say before we have prayer and communion that Lisa lost her husband. Well, he's found by Jesus. Her husband passed away just a couple days ago on Thursday. I would like us all to come together during this altar call and give her and her family prayer for comfort, for peace. Butch knew the Lord. Butch knew the Lord. And I know Lisa knows the Lord. And her brother Joe. have to know that, because Wednesday night at Bible study, we prayed for God's will to be done and for him to be out of pain. And he had cancer. When we pray that, we can't feel guilty because we pray that. Because it's God's will. And besides, Butch was probably praying it too. And God may have answered his prayer and took him home. And on behalf of the church, you have our condolences, and we just pray for your comfort. And he'll be at D'Angelo's tomorrow from 2 to 4 on Jefferson Avenue. So, but at this time, I ask that if anybody needs prayer, once again, I do use anointing oil. If you don't want it, don't bite my finger off when I go to put it on you. Just say, no, thank you. That's all. But after we do this, and if you want to come up, you can. If you want to stay where you're at, I don't get offended. Right? I don't say, y'all got to come up here. It's not what it's about. Right? It's about between you and God. Okay. Do it. Do it.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, You speak, a hundred billion failures disappear. Well, you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so
come up, Robin and Marianne and Brenda and Skylar. Before we take and pass the bread, I'd like to pray over it. Father God, we come to you and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for your broken body that was broken for us, Lord, on the cross, Lord. Lord, we thank you. And in fact, there's never enough thanks that we can give you for what you do for us and what you've done for us, Lord. And Lord God, I just ask that you bless this bread today, Lord, as we partake of the communion, Lord, that our hearts are right, Lord, that we can have this communion with you. Lord, we thank you. And we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can start there. You can go in the middle and you can go in the other side. There you go. Thank you. that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Take and commune with Jesus.